allow much needed aid to reach the local residents. Months later, his administration has yet to detail what forms of support the US has cut off. Images of children with jutting ribs, swelling bellies, and loose skin that have come to symbolize the war for the past 6 years can still be found all over Yemen. The telltale signs of widespread malnourishment in the country. But since Biden promised to end the war on humanitarian grounds upon assuming power in January, things seem to have deteriorated further. Many districts in Saada, Amran, Hajar, Hodeidah, Aden and Lash provinces saw record jumps in the number of malnourished children this year, with at least 100,000 cases of acute malnutrition in the first 3 months of the Biden presidency alone. That number represents a massive increase from the same period at the onset of the Trump presidency, when 5,000 cases were recorded. This is likely because the blockade has continued unabated.
The humanitarian situation in Yemen is falling off a cliff, with more than 20 million Yemenis needing humanitarian assistance. This includes more than 16 million men, women, and children who are going hungry this year. Tens of thousands of people already living in famine-like conditions, with 5 million just one step away. COVID infections have been surging, with hospitals and health facilities reportedly turning away patients due to lack of resources to treat them.
In March 2015, when the war began, Saudi Arabia, backed by Washington, moved immediately to strangle the supply of raw materials and foodstuffs into Yemen. Now, armed with a list of 100 banned items, Saudi naval ships supported by the US Navy are still patrolling the seas around Yemen, intercepting and detaining thousands of merchant ships, carrying food, fuel, and fertilizer that are vital to agriculture under the guise of halting arms smuggling into the country. The ongoing naval blockade shows no sign of easing, despite recent talk of the US ending support for the war, and with it, the suffering of 30 million in the war-torn country.
The demonstration comes as a reaction to 6 years of killing, blockade and targeting of Yemen with barges, planes and missiles. People here are against the US move, viewing it as a meddling in their internal affairs.
But the brutality of the Saudi-led campaign goes hand in hand with the futility of the war. Major recent advances by the Ansar Allah movement on the strategically vital oil and gas hub of Marib forced Saudi Arabia to offer a ceasefire agreement to the Houthi fighters. The fall of Marib means that Ansar Allah controls one of the key production centers of natural gas in Yemen, one that supplies the entire country, as well as oil fields owned by Saudi Arabia's Aramco. Consequently, for the first time, the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman gave up his threats to Yemenis and adopted a soft tone to call on Sana'a to recognize the Saudi peace initiative to stop the years-long war on Yemen.
The new stance of Saudi Arabia shows the extent of the failure that Saudi Arabia and its coalition have had in Yemen. What the Yemenis want is the actual withdrawal of foreign forces from Yemeni land. Saudi Arabia must prove its good intentions by stopping the military escalation, stopping the airstrikes, and withdrawing its forces from all Yemeni territories.
Bin Salman, with his soft speech, is seeking to avoid the coming defeat of his country in Yemen. The offensive in Marib front is the big reason for Bin Salman's attempt to sit for talks with the Yemenis and ask for peace.
Mohammed bin Salman's statements reveal the desperation among the Saudi-backed forces in Marib. So I believe he is trying to stop the continuous advances of the Yemeni army towards the city of Marib, which is only a few kilometers away and will be liberated in the coming days.
Moreover, the great achievements by the Ansar Allah movement have all forced Riyadh to reach out to Tehran so as to help the Saudis get out of the Yemen quagmire. Secret meetings have reportedly been going on, at least since January. The Saudi Crown Prince and the de facto leader Mohammed bin Salman had hoped to quickly crush Ansarullah when he decided to intervene in Yemen back in 2015. An easy victory could help the young prince gain a toehold in the region, but the bloody intervention turned out to be a grave miscalculation. Now, as the Biden administration has to figure out a way to satisfy those congresspersons who oppose help to the Saudi kingdom, Riyadh cannot rely on its American ally at this point as much as it used to. The Saudis' bloodshed in Yemen and the sheer ignorance of continuing the war have brought nothing but disaster for a poor nation and disgrace on the rich kingdom.
Start.
Movement.
Speak.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamidi.
Islamidi.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, and other life forms. Welcome to today's episode of Youth Station. Yes. Here on IRB English Radio. Thank you so very much, you guys, for being with us. I am your humble host, Zainab.
And I'm Hassanain. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you so very much for being with us, bro.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
And thank you to our listener. Oh, the pleasure is all mine. And thank you to our listeners for being with us on today's episode. You know, it's ironic.
What?
Today we're going to be talking about listening and how people pretend to be listening, but in truth, they've like zoned out of the conversation a long time ago. They're just sitting there and nodding their head. And sometimes, I often wonder.
But Sister Zainab, I pretty much ensure you that your listeners are actually listening to you. They're
you
not pretending.
So?
Because if they were pretending,
they would just turn off the radio.
Yeah.
True. They're not forced to listen to us at all. You guys are doing this out of your own free will. If you're vibing with us and you're feeling what we're saying, stay tuned. If you don't, feel free to switch off the dial. As I said, today we're going to talk about listening. And are you a good listener? Do you consider yourself as a good listener?
I guess.
Really?
Yeah, I guess.
For me, it depends on who I'm listening to.
Okay, like being a good listener to everyone you're talking about?
Yeah. Some people are just very, very good at listening. They're just there. And they're waiting for someone to open their mouth and talk or vent or explain. And they just listen. They listen. They have very good intake that way. You know, and some people aren't that way. But for me, it depends when I pretend. Sometimes I genuinely want to listen to someone when it's someone I love, when it's someone that's going through hardship.
Yeah.
When they're talking about something that I feel I can learn from. Then I attentively listen.
Yeah, even for me, like, it depends. Like, you know, if something is worth listening, I listen to them. After something, you know, someone just speaking some random stuff, like, you know, just wasting time.
Small
like,
talk. I cannot function in small talk. Like, I have caught myself, unfortunately, I'm not proud of it because it was one of the, being a good listener is one of the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was known for being a good listener. He was known for turning the entire direction, his entire body toward the person who was speaking to them. So much so that the person felt, every person who came across Rasulullah and spoke to him, felt that they were the most special person who ever spoke to Rasulullah. That's how much attention.
You actually feel good. You know, someone's listening to you like with full attention. Like, oh, this
undivided. Like, my brothers are really good listeners. I can go through a lot. They're like, they're my rock. I love them so much, mashallah. Shout out to my brother. You guys are awesome. May Allah protect all brothers. They're really good listeners. And the thing is that I can throw every emotion and every word and every thought at them, and they will attentively listen to me. I feel that often people pretend that they're listening to you, or often you pretend that you're listening to someone because some reasons. Like, they're saying something that is against your thoughts, your opinion, or your will.
Yeah.
They're giving you advice, like unwanted advice. And you don't want to be rude. Mm-hmm. You just stand there and you nod, like what you're
doing.
Yeah,
I just pretend.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Your mind is already somewhere else. Or in your mind, you're like, what is this person saying?
I'm just waiting for him to finish his talk.
Finish, exactly. Yeah. Oh, my God. And that is...
You know, if it's my friend or somebody else, like, you know, I just say, bro, you know, if it's, as you said, if it's against my thoughts, so I just stop him, like, you know, it's not like this, it's this way. But if it's someone elder, like, you know, I don't want to, you know, interrupt them or, you know, be rude to them, you know, they might, you know, take it in the bad way, so I just don't.
There is no good
them.
Or bad way. You don't want to listen to them. What other way could they possibly take it? I feel that a lot of youth have this problem, especially the way you described it. Like an elder is telling them, a teacher, a mentor, a parent, an aunt, a grandparent is talking to them, telling them something, and they're like, yeah, okay, mom. Sure, ma. All right. Okay. They have to listen. They have to listen. They have to go through that lecture.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email that is englishradio@irib.ir.
They, like, be it any, like, you know, boss in the company or, like, principal. Like, you know, principal and, you know, the bosses and all, like, when they talk to the employee, like, the employee is, you know, he has to listen to his boss. And he cannot just, you know, come back with reply to him, you know, so that he'll be fired later.
Exactly.
You know, he's helpless over there to listen to his boss.
Other situations I feel that we pretend to listen when someone is talking to us is when we know better. And God, that happens so much when I'm talking to children. Because there's zero input, right?
Right.
There's nothing they know that I don't already know. Unless they're describing what happened that day, what did they do, something they saw. Oh my God, I saw a huge spider. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. I'm actually listening. But when they're telling me about something, and I already know I was that age before, I've been there, done that, and I don't care about this. Yeah. I've lived this already.
Please. So do you listen to them?
I do. Because it's very, very important for children to feel heard. And as a lot of the adults we see in today's society, if had they been heard, had they been given a voice, had they been taught to verbalize their thoughts and feelings and express themselves as children, and had they been acknowledged for those thoughts and those voices, they wouldn't be so broken as adults today. So yes, I don't like listening to children because it's boring as hell. Yeah. But I listen to them anyway because it's important for children to feel heard.
You know, the second category we're talking about, like, you know, pretending to listen, like, when we already know it.
Yeah.
And you know, it depends on, you know, person to person. Like, you know, when it's my close friend, you know, he's describing an incident to me. So, like, I'll just, I listened to this before. So, like, okay, we go to the next topic. But if someone, like, you know, I don't know very well, like, you know, we're just casual friends, like, formal friends. We are just formal friends. You know, he's describing an event, so I just don't stop him. I just pretend to listen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I feel like, you know, just to keep his heart, like, he shouldn't feel bad. Like, you know, like, he should, like, he's describing it, like, I'm paying attention to it.
Or, like, join in the conversation saying, like, oh, my God, I know, right? And then you add something and make the conversation a little lively. Because when it's something that you already know, it's not adding to your knowledge at all. The person is just boring you to death. That's one of the, like, situations I get.
So it depends, right? When it's your close friend, you can just tell them, bro, I heard this before. Like, we go to the next conversation, like, next topic. Yeah.
Or when it's your brother and you just, you know, straight up tell him to stop talking.
Yeah.
Dude, you're boring me. Stop talking. Oh, another situation where I cannot bring myself to listen to someone. The person, the way they're talking is incoherent.
What do you mean by
incoherent in the sense of I don't understand what topic are we discussing. They're constantly jumping from one branch or another. I cannot follow the trail of the story. The storyline is incoherent.
So, like, you don't actually know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you think that, you know, interrupting someone while they're conversing, do you think is that rude?
Depends. And you're, if you're on a radio show, it's inevitable. We're constantly interrupting each other, and it's cool, right? Because we have got, we've got like 15 minutes to get a message through. I often find that I do it often because I'm very forgetful, and if a thought pops in my mind, if I don't say it that moment, I'll forget it forever and ever, and it will just slip into the pages of history, right? And I'll like remember it 6 months after that convo, and I'm like, dang, that's what I wanted to say, right? Mm-hmm. So it's if it's with someone that I'm close to, I'd be like, oh, and this and that, and I interrupt them. Like, it's my best friend, it's my mom, it's my brothers. But if it's someone that I'm not so close and comfortable with, I just let the thought slip away. If it's meant to be, I'll remember it. If I forgot it, it means that it wasn't meant to be. Emphasizing on listening, we want to talk about this topic today because of a few reasons. Number one, I feel like youth struggle with trying to listen because adults, especially when the speaker is an adult, and that's sad because of this huge generation gap. The other point is that
they simply have to listen to them.
Yeah,
like,
Islam puts a lot of emphasis on listening. It's one of the greatest means of learning. And Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam, actually there's a hadith from him that literally says, talk less, listen more. And one of the signs of a believer is one who is listening more than speaking. And there are so many ahadith telling us about the virtues of being silent. Not in situations that call for speech, but if you don't have anything to say.
Hey, there's one hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that speak good. Or remain silent.
Exactly. If you don't have something useful to say, don't say anything at all.
قُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ إِسْمَ. And there's one more hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen. So like, you know, we got to know from the, you know, we have to speak good or just remain silent. But Amir al-Mu'mineen says that when do we have to speak? You know, Imam Ali says that, you know, speak only when your words are more beautiful than silence.
Beautiful.
It's actually, you know, I love that hadith.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And, you know, the importance of listening, I feel, it affects us so... It's one of the portals of our body, right? Like, it's like the USB portal of our body. Our eyes, our skin, our senses, our, maybe our mouth, our taste buds, and our ears, right? Is how we have intake. And it's so important. Like, you listen to good music or a good lecture or a good verse of Quran and you're uplifted. You listen to something bad, and then you're down in the dumps. Or like in Islam, they recite the Shahadatain, right? In the newborn's ears and the adhan and the iqamah. Or when someone dies, they do the talqeen to them. And they, you know, tell a corpse about your beliefs and this and that. So that shows how effective listening can be in our lives and how it can change so much.
You know, there was someone saying that, just tell me, what do you think about this? You know, there was someone saying that, you know, even a listener needs a listener.
Of course. That is so important.
But we shouldn't always be listening. You know, even we need a listener.
Exactly. Even Amir al-Mu'mineen needed to vent. You know, he'd vent to a well. Through, because the all the hardships that he went through were so overwhelming throughout his life. Especially after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his beloved wife Fatimah az-Zahra sallallahu alaiha, he went through so much, and he did not have a listening ear. No one could bear the struggles and the pain of Ali. He vented to a well. He would talk to a well. He would tell his secrets and his pains and his, and it's so heartbreaking. But then again, it shows that Islam acknowledges the idea of having someone to listen to you.
Right.
It's our portal. It's how we intake information, and we got to be careful. Most importantly, we have to be careful of what we listen to. Don't listen to garbage, whether that garbage is music, garbage speech, garbage conversation. Don't listen to it. It really affects you. It affects your thought patterns. It affects your personality. It affects your psyche. It affects you.
Okay, so now, I guess over here, it's you know, important for you to stop the speaker. Like if you're speaking, someone, something false.
One of the things you shouldn't be listening to is backbiting. If someone is doing ghibah, backbiting in front of you, straight up tell them to stop. You don't, you know what? Don't even care if you're hurting their feelings.
Right. You're like if someone's giving you false news and all.
You tell them to stop. That's all the time we have for today's episode of Youth Station. Thank you so very much, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us, Brother Hassane.
Thank you so much.
On behalf of the cast and crew, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have. My love is strong because you are the one I call creator, my Alpha and Omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver, my defender and my savior, my giver and my taker. Abiding in silence with patience and guidance, aware when I need you, a light when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my weakness, and my love is strong.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is some excellent food for thought from Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him, the sixth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Beware of three categories of people: the traitor, the oppressor, and the talebearer. He who betrays others for your sake will surely betray you. He who oppresses others for your sake will surely oppress you. And he who bears others' news to you will surely bear your news to others.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
light.
Nowadays, phone addiction is causing an increasing number of accidents worldwide. The Korean engineer has come up with a creative, although satirical, way to tackle that issue. Pang Min-wook is a 28-year-old industrial engineer or designer. He has invented a robotic eyeball people can wear to avoid accidents when using their phones while walking. The device is strapped to the forehead and opens its eyelids when the users lower their heads. The third eye then beeps in warning when the user comes within 1 or 2 meters of an obstacle. Pang says his device is not a solution to the issue and hopes that people will understand the severity of their reliance on gadgets when they see their third eye.
As the coronavirus continues to wreak havoc in India, some auto rickshaw drivers have turned their three-wheelers into makeshift ambulances to provide patients with first aid services.
Those are patients.
In New Delhi, the municipal ambulances are often occupied. There are also some very narrow alleys or built-up areas that are inaccessible by regular-sized ambulances. In these cases, our makeshift ambulances came in handy then. We attend to people in need with oxygen cylinders.
Mishra, who started the Rickshaw Ambulance Initiative, says his center attends around 1,200 calls per day. He says rickshaw volunteers transport roughly 150 patients during peak hours. The brave drivers work 12-hour shifts and mainly serve people with mild symptoms. They wear full protective gear, including face shields, while on duty. The three-wheeler ambulances are easily identifiable by the large printed image of the fleet and emergency call numbers. Mishra says the fleet will continue running with all its might until the coronavirus is under full control in India. In Russia, drone enthusiasts have gathered in the capital, Moscow, to show off their technological creativity in a racing competition. The participants created their own drones and made changes to the models right on the site where the competition was held to improve their chances to win the contest. The goal was for the participants to complete the track in the shortest possible time. Participants say the interesting thing about the competition is that it's cheaper than other games.
It's a lot of fun. From the outside, it may not be so clear, but when you're inside it, it becomes really fun to talk, race with the competitors, learn from their experience some new technological things. As for the high cost, it is expensive, but when compared with the snowboards and skis, it is really cheaper, but more expensive than knitting.
In 2017, the International Federation of Aeronautics, or FAI, announced drone racing as an official sport. In 2018, Russia's sports ministry included drone racing in all Russian registered of sports with a class code F3U following the FAI classification.
A science professor has released spectacular drone footage of lava streaming from an Icelandic volcano. Sørensen Johnson flew a drone over the volcano 2 months after it started erupting. He captured close-up shots of lava bubbling in its crater in the southwest of Iceland's capital. The volcanologists say that they have no idea how long this eruption will continue, adding that magma could flow for years. Iceland is home to dozens of active volcanoes. Volcanic landscapes have turned into a tourist attraction in the Scandinavian country. Two Russian cosmonauts have conducted spacewalk outside the International Space Station to prepare an old docking module for disposal. The duo spent more than 7 hours outside the ISS to wrap up
perpetrations for the eventual disposal of the Pris docking compartment. According to NASA officials, the Russian cargo freighter will remove the two-decade-old module from the orbiting laboratory later this summer. Both the cargo ship and the Pris will burn up in the atmosphere above the Pacific Ocean. The orbiting Pris will clear the way for the arrival of a new Russian multi-purpose laboratory module named Nuka, meaning science in Russian. Nuka is scheduled to launch on July the 15th this year. Wednesday's operation was the sixth spacewalk in 2021 in support of the space station assembly, maintenance, and upgrades.
A rare albino baby elephant that was rescued from poachers in South Africa has found a new home with a welcoming herd. The calf, named Han Yisa, was caught in a snare in the Kruger National Park when she was only 4 months old. She suffered several nasty wounds, including one to her mouth. Han Yisa remained trapped in the snare for 4 days before being rescued and taken to a shelter especially built for elephants northeast of Johannesburg. All the other elephants there are orphans too.
Each female that we had has a baby. So except for them, all of the others are orphaned. And I think that is part of the reason why they accept these orphans, because they know how it feels, you know, and they become actually, you know, the mother figures for them.
The calf has learned to adapt to the new life. She lies under the shadow cast by bigger elephants to protect herself from getting sunburned. The shelter says if the herd grows too big for the area, she and other elephants will be released into the wild.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A Brazilian artist has found a way to reuse plastic bags in a very creative way, making something beautiful out of them. Eduardo Sroa turns recycled shreds of plastic into real pieces of artwork. He picks up the material from city streets and rivers. Without using a drop of paint, Sroa recreates paintings by Picasso, Van Gogh, and other famous artists. He says his goal is to draw attention to plastic pollution.
I present this series as a product that does not have paint, except for what has already been processed into plastic by the industry. It does not have glue. It is a box that was built, and inside I press and condense it. I make an accumulated cluster of plastic bags that ends up creating this image that you see.
Sura's exhibition is due to open in Sao Paulo in the coming months. His previous works were also aimed at raising awareness about the environment. He has created several giant installations in public places, mostly along polluted rivers.
Chinese archaeologists have unearthed a rare 3,000-year-old bronze figure from a site they have been excavating for months in Sichuan province. The 1.5-meter figure, deemed one of China's most famous archaeological discoveries. It consists of two parts. The upper part is 55 centimeters high, with a zoon, a vessel used in ancient times, on top of the head. The lower part is 60 centimeters in size, with kneeling posture. Similar findings in the past were just 20 centimeters in their heights. The bronze figure was discovered under massive ivory objects. So far, over 500 objects, including ivory, bronze, gold, and jade ware, have been found from six sacrificial pits of the Sanjiangdu ruins. A Chinese man becomes the first blind Asian mountaineer to successfully scale the world's tallest peak, the Mount Everest. Zhang Hong completed the 8,849-meter high Himalayan feat with three high-altitude guides. The 46-year-old climber said he spent much of his trek holding onto his guide's arm. The pair said the most tiresome and risky areas were the so-called death zones, ice walls, and ice falls at around 8,000 meters. The Chinese climber recalled humbly embracing being part of Mother Nature after he completed his arduous journey.
No matter if you're disabled or normal, whether you have lost your eyesight or you have no legs or hands, it doesn't matter. As long as you have a strong mind, you can always complete anything that other people think you can't.
Zhang added that this is only the beginning. He said his next milestone is climbing the highest peaks from the world's continents known as the Seven Summits. The Chinese mountaineer lost his eyesight at the age of 21. After his success, he became the third visually impaired person to ever step foot on the Everest peak. A Russian company has developed a fully self-driving car that looks like it was taken right out of a sci-fi movie. Flip is the size of a conventional passenger car and has enough space for six people. Its creator says the advanced vehicle is a taxi of the future. Flip has fulfilled the requirements of international automated driving standards. It's powered by electricity, but it can also use other fuels like gas and hydrogen. The owners of this futuristic vehicle do not have to worry about running out of power. That's because its replaceable batteries can be changed in less than 5 minutes once they are out of electricity. A rare baby giraffe is born in a zoo in western France as conservationists try to increase the population of this endangered species. The cute Rothschild giraffe is the second to born in a French zoo this year. Caretakers say the cubs will stay with the facility for 1 year before they would be sent to another site to start their own families. The Rothschild giraffes are critically endangered, and conservationists say that only 1,600 of them exist now. The general giraffe populations in the wild have also decreased by around 30% in the last three decades.
For many professional climbers, ascending Mount Everest for even once remains an almost distant dream. However, a Nepali man has achieved that feat not once or twice, but 25 times. Kami Rita Sherpa has arrived back in the capital, Kathmandu, after breaking his own whopping record of 24 ascents to the summit of the world's tallest mountain. The veteran climber hopes that his accomplishment represents a big achievement for his small country. Climbing tall mountains runs in Kami's blood. He belongs to the Sherpa tribe, one of the Tibetan ethnic groups and native to the most mountainous region of Nepal.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamu alaikum. Peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you, dear friend. You are with IRIB English Radio, and today's special. Our topic is the wisdom behind calamities. Today, Tuesday, is the 27th of Shawwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 18th of Khordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 8th of June, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of chapter 3 from the Holy Quran, verse
178. إنما نملي لهم ليزدادوا إثما ولهم عذاب مهين.
And let not those who disbelieve ever think that because we extend their time of enjoyment, it is better for them. We only extend it for them so that they may increase in sin, and for them is a humiliating punishment.
رحمن يا رحمن ساعدني يا رحمن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن واسقي حياتي قرآن.
The history retells that when Yazid, the caliph of the time, had Imam Hussein slain, the household members of the Imam, including Hazrat Zainab Kubra, peace be upon her, were taken to Syria as captures. In his meeting, Yazid proudly addressed Hazrat Zainab and said, "Did you see that Allah is with us?" In answer to him, Lady Zainab recited this very verse and added, "I know your rank low and little, and it is deserving for any despising. Do whatever you wish, but by Allah, beware that you cannot quench the light of Allah."
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture, that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
Calamities and disasters in life is the topic of today's special. A wise man said, "Do not resent the calamities that come and the disasters that occur, for perhaps in something that you dislike will be your salvation, and perhaps in something that you prefer will be your doom." Another said, "There is a blessing in calamity that the wise man should not ignore, for it erases sins, gives one the opportunity to attain the reward for patience, dispels negligence, reminds one of the blessings at the time of health, calls one to repent, and encourages one to give charity. Through calamity, the believer seeks reward, and there is no way to attain it but patience. And there is no way to be patient except with resolute faith and strong will."
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astaghfirullah. In this episode, we are going to deal with how to come up with calamities and sorrows. Everybody should know that it's really a very important experience that one shouldn't prolong. I mean, this period of feeling too much, sorrowful for the late person, for the deceased person. This is because the other people who are around, one person, a bereaved person, they do have the right of, I mean, living, I mean, in a peaceful community and in a peaceful environment. So we find that one of the best solutions is, I mean, shedding tears, and for example, for just a short period of time, perhaps for some days, or for example, for a week or for 10 days, this person, at least in our culture, I mean, in our Middle Eastern culture, they believe the person who wears in black as a sign of being sad for the demise of a late person, but after that, I mean, his or her peers and close associates or for example, close relatives move to that person and they believe the person to put off the, I mean, black shirt or the black dress and to return to, for example, his or her normal course of life or activities.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your
You are one of the followers of today's special from IRIB English Radio. And topic of this part is success in the light of calamities. It would not be wrong to say that the success in our children is hidden in hardships. The success in our children is hidden in hardships. If we say that the steel becomes harder after entering fire, a knife becomes sharper only after being grinded on hard rock, it is the same truth. Torments and tribulations polish man's personality because he uses his mental faculties for removing difficulties. Hence, wise people say that games and sport raises the mental abilities of a child because in the course of games and sports, he faces some sort of difficulties and uses his intelligence to remove them. From this viewpoint, unless there are storms of difficulties, many capabilities cannot grow. Hardships and calamities are like a strict teacher whose class scores the best marks.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, ma lana rabbun siwa.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la
The wisdom behind calamities. Dear friend, calamity is a lesson in tawhid, faith and trust in Allah. How? It shows you in a practical sense what you really are. So you will realize that you are a weak slave and you have no strength and no power except with your Lord. Then you will put your trust in Him in a true sense and will turn to Him in a true sense and put aside your position, pride, arrogance, self-admiration, and heedlessness. And you will understand that you are poor and in need of your Lord, and you are weak and need to return the Most Strong, the Almighty. May He be glorified. Were it not that Allah treats His slaves with the remedy of the trials and calamities, they would transgress and overstep the mark. When Allah wills good for His slaves, He gives him the medicine of calamities and trials according to his situation, so as to cure him from all fatal illnesses and diseases.
Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha, he says, don't say, O Allah, take away all problems from my life. Give me a life free of problems. Imam Ali says, don't make such a dua because Allah won't accept such a dua. Because you're asking him to do something which goes against the very reason why you came to this life. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, if you want to do a dua, this is how you should approach it and this is how you should word it. Say, oh Allah, do not give me a problem, a challenge that will cause me to fail. Do not give me a problem that will take away the faith from my heart. Now that's a good dua which you should be asking for. But to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the smooth, comfortable life, to live like a king without any problems, any tests, any difficulties, that's not going to happen. Am I greater? Am I dearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a comfortable life to those whom He only loves, then the Prophet should have had a smooth life. The Imams alayhimus salam should have lived as kings. But you see that because Allah loved the Prophet most, and He loved Ahlul Bayt most, they had very turbulent lives. They were tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in very difficult ways. But that's how they achieved freedom, success. That's how they achieved the highest status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By remaining successful. The Prophet tells us, مَا أُوذِيَ نَبِيٌّ بِمِثْلِ مَا أُوذِيتْ. No Prophet of God, including Prophet Nuh, who suffered from his people for 950 years, no prophet has been hurt and harassed more than I have. But this is what makes the Prophet so amazing to us. This is what gives him the highest value any human being can achieve. Because he was presented with the most difficult tests, yet he remained patient. Yet he accepted the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. This episode of today's special. May Allah bless you all. Have a nice time. Fi amanillah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.